happened to find a book on Dr. John G. Lake. Amazing. He met a woman over there in Africa that they said about the musicians. A professional musician that they claim is a Christian type of person. I wrote this down, what he said. I didn't want to forget this. Said, musicians talk of an ultimate note. It is a note that is not found on a keyboard. It is a peculiar note. A person sits down to tune a piano. He has no guide to the proper key, yet he has an inner guide. And the nearer he can bring his instrument with the note in his soul, the nearer he has attained perfection. And Dr. Lake said he had met a young woman that was baptized in the Holy Ghost. And ever since then, there was an ultimate note, a song God has put down within her. This woman, her parents were musicians. And her parents knew that when the Spirit of God came, that she felt that ultimate note that I told you ultimate means. Something that's the finest from a spirit of its kind, a level of the highest possible achievement. Her daddy would get on one side of the piano, her mom on the other. Her daddy would listen to her as she played, and he would record, you know, the type of notes and all that she was playing and have that down. The mother would be on this side, and she would hear the voice as it linked up with that ultimate note on the inside, and she'd write the words down. There was a lady that sung opera, I believe it was, named Clara Butts. She went over there to a place called Wondrous Hall. It was a place where people went, big, huge place, you know, for orchestras and all. And this woman got to singing, this here lady, she was an English lady. And she got to singing. Afterwards, they introduced her to Dr. Lake. Well, this Clara Butts had heard about this young woman over there that claimed that she had something on the inside that connected with the spiritual side of life of God and would cause an ultimate note to be on the inside of her and would cause her to try to play the musical, to link up to what was on the inside of her. And then the words would come to her as she linked up with that ultimate note. And she said, I hear there's a lady that you have in your area that can link up with something that I can't link up with. And Dr. Lake said, that's the fact of it. So they got the lady together with this here lady that could sing real well from the English country. She told us, I'd like for you to sit on the piano and show me how you do it. Dr. Lake knew that there was no way possible that this young lady could bring it upon herself, but knew God was the one that gave her the song. Brother Lake said, let's bow our head. And as he prayed, that song come up, bursting up on the inside of that lady. And she got the singing and playing the piano. Amen. Clara Butts got the weeping silently to herself. After it was all done, she went and seen the young lady and told her, that you're hooked up to something that I don't know nothing about. There's something you're connecting with, something that I don't know how to connect with. I like to tell you, neighbor, that you take Job and look like lost 10 children, 7 sons, 3 daughters. Y'all know how people turn against him, situations, wife, and this and that and yonder. And so he asked the question, where is the Lord that giveth a song in the night? I wrote this down. It's amazing that I found this here, because it's just amazing how God had worked this out for me. It says here, Henry Ford said, I cannot discover that anyone knows enough to say definitely what is and what is not possible. Henry Ford filed bankrupt twice. I mean, lost his business. I mean, went under several different times. And they wouldn't even loan him no money no more. But somehow that man kept on. That's why you're driving your Fords today, neighbor. Because he said, I have never discovered that anyone knows enough to definitely know what is and what is not possible. Listen to this. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter. I mean, the devil knows how to crush us, don't he? That feelings lie buried, that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness. And when I seen this, I wrote this other with it. It said, cords that were broken will vibrate once more. Did you catch that? Cords that were broken because your heart was crushed and it didn't seem like you're getting a hold of that ultimate note of that song in the night that you needed. Bible talks about him. It says here, though the human heart's crushed and the feelings lie buried, it said grace restored. It'll be touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness. Cords that were broken will vibrate once more. And I wrote, they'll vibrate once more to the song that God gave you in the night. I'm talking about something that works. I'm talking about something, neighbor, when you feel so good and you can't hardly stand it. I'm talking about something that's on the inside that this woman experienced and that God's people experienced. Because David said, when the Lord saved me, brought me out of that horrible pit, out of that miry clay, he said he not only set my foot up on a rock, but he said he established my goings and he gave me a new song. I'm talking about that ultimate note, neighbor, that starts to make it sound within you. I'm talking about something just like Elijah that time when he was trying to get a hold of God. And he said, you know, I don't even want to mess with you. Ahab, you know, Tony Ahab, because of the way you are. But he said, but because Jehoshaphat, the king's with you, whom I respect, I will do what I got to do. He said, bring me a minstrel. And when they brought that minstrel, that musical instrument, and they started clanging on that instrument, the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord came upon Elijah. I like to tell you, there you know the reason why people's against music and singing in this hour is because they know God sanctions it. Because God moves a many a time in that. God gave us a song when we got saved. He gave us something on the inside, never, that caused us to reach out to Him. Oh, but it's different when it's rough and tough and you're trying to find God. He seems like you don't know where he's at. And I like to tell you what Paul said. He said, feel after him. You'll find out he's not, you know, too far off. Job said, I went to my right, my left, forward and back. And Job said, I can't find God. Don't seem like I know where he's at. But Job said, there's one thing about it. He knows the road I take. He knows the kind of person I am. And he said, after I come through this trial, even though I lost my 10 children, even though everything's going against me like it is, he said, after a while, I'm going to come forth of pure gold. God's going to show these people what I've got in my heart and my life. Amen. Look at a man the way he is. To you, he only becomes worse. But look at him as if he were what he could be, and then he becomes what he should be. I'm telling you, neighbor, we need to find good in people. And realize, neighbor, I don't look at a person just because, you know, they're harlots and alcoholics and all that, you know. I remember a little boy one time went to this principal. People was making fun of him. And the principal said, if you ever need anything, come to me. Little fellow went to that big principal. And he said, I come to talk to you. He said, what you want? Kind of smart to him. He said, sir, you said if I ever had a problem, I could come and talk to you. Set him down in that chair, pull the blind down, shut the door. So what's your problem, son? The boy started crying. He said, sir, my mama's an alcoholic. She don't want me to go to school. She won't clean me up. She won't dress me. Won't hardly give me no food in the morning. And not only that, but she wants me to quit school altogether. That day, the boy put his hand between his knees and got to crying. Directly felt that big old hand come upon him from that principal. He said, son, I'm going to Alcohol Anonymous. I'm an alcoholic too. And I'm trying to overcome. He said, now on you look to me. I'm going to get you out of this thing. And he said, every time that little boy walked past that office, he'd see that principal gave him a wink at the eye. I'm here to tell you, never there's some folks that's been where you've been. They walk the path you walk. They know what it feels to feel. They know what the hurts are. And neighbor, that's the reason why the Bible said we can comfort them with the comfort God comfort us. For the things we went through, we can help somebody else. I like this. One of the secrets of success is to refuse to let temporary setbacks defeat us. Anybody can quit. Quitter never wins. A winner never quits. One of the secrets of success is to refuse to let temporary setbacks defeat us. I like this. If you do not hear opportunity knocking, you're not getting what you need, find another door. Find another door. Think about ready, feel like I'm about ready to start preaching. Anybody got a song in your heart today? Does anybody know what it means to have that ultimate note on the inside? That ultimate note that's finest or the most pure of its kind. A level of the highest possible achievement. I've been low just like everybody else has been low. I've been fought by the devil like everybody else has been fought by the devil. I know what to be discouraged like everybody else needs to be discouraged. But there's been something on the inside at my lowest point. When it seemed like I remember one time I didn't think I was going to be up preaching. I was so discouraged. I didn't want to pastor no more. I didn't want to preach no more. Stevie wanted me to help him start a little work. I thought, good, that's what I'm going to do. Stevie asked me one night, I said, Daddy, will you preach? I said, no, sir. I'd go to some of these places and these people knew me. And I said, no, sir, I'm not interested. You know, I just got to the place I felt like I was done for. I was discouraged. I was defeated. It was hard to lift my head up. And it just seemed like it was one thing after another. I'm telling you, I've been there and done that. One man told me one time, he said, Steve, when you've done the kind of work I've done, he said, and you walk the walk and you talk the talk, he said, then you tell me about it. But till you do, I don't want to hear nothing about it. I like to tell you, when you walk the walk and you talk the talk, thank God that you've been there and know there's a God that sees you through, neighbor, and realize there's an ultimate note on the inside. It looks like it wasn't singing no more. It looked like the music wasn't playing no more. Just like so Job said, where's the Lord that giveth the songs in the night? Yet David said, I'm fainting after the Lord like a heart from the water brook. He said, I'm thirsty. I need help from God. That's what Job said. I mean, David said. You have to excuse me. Ever since I got in this mode about 3 years ago, my memory is not like it is. I stay clouded memory. Sometimes I miss my name, but it's an accident because of that. Psalm chapter 42, verse 1. As the Lord painteth after our water brook, so painteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night. Why they continually say unto me, where is thy God? That's just like the devil like to tell you, isn't it? You know, you're going through, you're thirsting, and your tears, and you meet day and night, and some says, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I poured out my soul in me. For I have gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, of the Hermonites, and from the hill of Mazar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of the water spouts. All thy ways and thy billows are gone over me. Notice, be yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forsaken me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As of the sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me. while they say David, and he wears thy God. And when David looks it all over and realizes the song God's given him and realizes, though he's went through the mud and being dragged, he finally says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? He said, hope thou in God. I'd like to tell you, God will give the song back again. God will give the ultimate note of me inside again. I say you can sing with the best again. It may not be an outward song like this lady from Johannesburg, from Africa, but it is a song that God gives on the inside. And David, still he went through what he went through. And people say, where is thy God? You lost him. He's not there no more. Thank God David looked it all over. And David said, why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for he's the one that gave me the song in the night. Huh? Psalm chapter 77. Thank you, Jesus. If you knew me this morning and this week, I can't talk without coughing. And I told God, I said, God, when I go up there, it's your reason I'm going. And it's up to you to help me. I don't feel that great anointing like I like to, but I haven't coughed the first time. And my wife could tell you, I've been keeping her up at night, and then today I've been going through some kind of mess. But that just shows me what God could do. Huh? Have you got a song today? Have you got that ultimate note on the inside? I'm going to tell you something, neighbor. Sometimes, like it says right here, it says, look at a man the way that he is, he only becomes worse. Look at him as if he were what he could be, and then he becomes what he should be. There's a little boy, you know, that wore rags, and he was in what they call the retardation education. He already flunked 2 grades of school, you know, 2 years, and they put him in where the they call him retardation. That's what I read. And this little fella ended up in a class, got mixed up somehow, ended up in class, and the teacher was kind of a smart aleck, didn't like it because he was, you know, his clothes were too tight, and he was actually dirty, and he wouldn't even look up at her, and the children's in there laughing when he stepped in. She said, I want you to go to that board. I want you just to be smart. So I want you to write so-and-so this equation. He said, ma'am, I'm 11 years old. I can't read or write. Said, I'm in the retardation class. And the children there laughing at him. And somehow or another, she didn't realize that that's where they were sending him to her class. And the boy, you know, he stunk, and, you know, his mother didn't care for him. And the little fellow, his true story, really going through something. Well, it turns out one day after school, some of the classmates got together and they beat him up pretty bad. After recess or whatever, he was trying to do his paperwork and blood was coming off his face, splattering his paper. Besides, you know, the tears that he was crying. So he had wet tears and blood on his paperwork. When that teacher looked at that young boy and realized how she'd been treating him in the class, making fun of him, and realized the situation that he was in, you know, she started feeling something toward this little boy. So she went out to the Salvation Army, I believe it was, and she bought some clothes for him. When it did, that little fellow felt so good because here it is, she bought me some clothes. And she told the children, she said, I better not see one of you fight him. I better not find nobody making fun of this child no more. And it wasn't long that she was doing some after classes with this child. It wasn't long that this child just kept on and on, everything starting to do better for him. And this little boy, you know, he's learning to talk and read and write. And he's fixing to have to move, his family's moving, his mother. And so the teacher went out and bought him a new set of clothes. And he said, I never had a new set of clothes in my life, teacher. They didn't think he'd amount to much, but this man's a movie star today. He had 5 different types of movies going on. Amen. And this guy's a movie star today and very successful financially because there was a teacher there that started to realize, hey, you could be something. Remember that story I told you about the boy that was in class about 10 years old? And the teacher said, I want you all to write down what you want to be when you get older. And the little boy wrote down, he said, I'm going to have 400 acres of land. I'm going to build a certain size house. I'm going to be put in the middle of that land. I'm going to have horses, and I'm going to be a rancher. Teacher come back, gave him an F. So the boy went home and showed it to his daddy. And his daddy said, son, just change it. You'll get an A. He said, daddy, that's my goal. There's something on the inside of me telling me that is what I'm going to do when I get older. Went back to the teacher. And the teacher said, you change your story. He said, I know you're just young and you're trying to imagine something never going to be. And try to discourage him. But a little later on in life, this young man grew up. He bought his 400 acres of land. He built the house that he told the teacher he's going to build and put it right in the middle of that land. He became a horse rancher. And you know what he did? He took that F that teacher gave him and he put it in a picture frame. And he put it right over this fireplace on his mantle that he could sit in there and he could see the F he got because he had a dream and nobody thought that he could have a dream. Amen. This young man finally invited that teacher later in life to bring her class to see him. When she seen that property, seen them fine horses, seen that beautiful home, and then she looked up and seen that F she gave him on that paper when he was 10 years old, that teacher come up and said, I want to apologize to you. She said, I've heard of many a little child's dream, but she said, I realize that it can become a dream if you want to dream it enough. Amen. And he was telling them other little children, that boy did, that grew up, said, here's what I could do. You could do what I could do. Neighbor, I'd like to tell you, thank God, there's a God in heaven knows your ambitions. He knows your desires. He knows what you're up against. He knows your oppositions, neighbor. But live your dream. Be what God wants you to be. Look at a man the way that he is. He'll only become worse. But look at him as what he could be. And then he becomes what he should be. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm chapter 77, verse 6 through 11. Notice carefully. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Where's that ultimate note, God? Where's that connection that I want to have? Will the Lord cast off forever? And will He be favorable no more? Notice what He says. Is His mercy clean gone forever? Does His promise fail forevermore? David said, had God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercies? Selah. And I said, notice, David said, I said, this is my affirmative. But I always like that word, but. You've been to school, college. Look like me, that changes it when you put but in there. Is that right? David said, this is my affirmative. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Notice carefully. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doeth wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. He got a hold of something. He realized, hey, it's still there. I just thought it was gone. It's still there. He said, I'm going to remember Him. I can't tell you the times, how many times. Oh, I told you about this one time. It said, obstacles cannot crush me. You know what obstacle? That's something that's in any way hindering you. Obstacles cannot crush me. Every obstacle yields a stern resolve. When my daddy worked a whirlpool, had that surgery for that blood clot on his brain,
clear across his head the way the x-ray looked. And my dad was in bad shape. And my dad needed that job. And Whirlpool was moving out. They was going to have a... There was, even though it was union, you didn't have to belong to the union, but there was still union there. Just like I did, I didn't have to belong to no union. You didn't have to take no nationality, but it was an option if you wanted it. So my dad was there. They was fixing to shut it down Sunday at midnight. Well, my dad, Brother Doug, didn't spend our home. And for some reason, my dad took his savings. I was traveling in a camper. And Dad wanted to build me a house. And his mind was made up. He wouldn't listen. So he built me a house. He took some different ones of his money. He had a little bit of money and built me a house. Well, I knew that kind of dropped his funds down some. I never asked for the house. But I went to my pastor. I said, I want you to help me pray. I don't want my dad to lose my job. He said, I'm praying God bust it up, that all moves the job, let it move out. And when it did, I just kind of lost the song. Got also a note in there, it just seemed like. So I went and talked with my sister, who was a Christian, and she wasn't for it either, them staying. I just got out of a big situation with my dad, with a blood clot on his brain, and while he was in the hospital, he was crying because his daddy had died, and Dad wanted me to let him go to the funeral home, and doctor said he couldn't go, and I had to watch my own daddy cry like a child. He said, son, it ain't going to hurt that. He said, no. And then after the surgery, before he was able to talk, he was talking dead, like a baby. Didn't have no balance, his mind, he was just bad shape. And through the mercies of God and prayer, they told Patty when they done the surgery, say more likely it's a good chance it's going to be retarded. And it looked like it was, and God brought him out of it just directly through the mercies of God. Well, that was going on, and then his brother come up to the hospital, my daddy's brother Paul. He hated his own daddy, and he was up there as soon as Grandpa died, and my dad was crying, said, Paul, you know, Pap died. He said, yeah, but we're not worried about that right now. We're wanting to settle this financial in the home now, split it up. Well, I took a stand against him. He left. And then I had one of these here preachers come at way out, you know. I got rid of him. And I just had pressure on me. One night, Dad got up, and he called the house, and he knocked the IV, pulled it out of his arm, and somehow he had enough sense to call the house. Blood was here and there, and yonder, he's bleeding. So then the nurse's doctor, whatever, told me, said, you need to stay with him around the clock. So I had pressure on top of pressure. And I wasn't feeling good. I didn't feel like I had a song. I've been out evangelizing. I was in Oklahoma. Oklahoma's over there in Fort Smith, Brother John Lee. I said, Brother John, over preaching. And God was blessing me. Got up with Brother Rich and several other brethren. It looked like things was working. Ralph Cox, different one. God was blessing me, but I felt like I need to come home, and I found this situation all mess. So there I was in that kind of situation. Now, Whirlpool was fixing to, and then the devil wanted me to get in a fight. My brother-in-law come in. My dad was in the hospital. Didn't get to come home yet, and he won't come up to me. And he knew how much I hurt, and in fact, that house I was supposed to got. He got in a bad financial situation. Dad just let him have the house. Whatever Dad wanted, he built it. And he had the nerve come up to me and said, Steve, I just want to let you know I can't feel nothing for your daddy. You talk about something trying to come over me. There, my dad was nearly dead and dying, and he wasn't out of it yet. And here he comes in and tells me, I just don't feel nothing. My dad had give him a house. With the land. I just left him. Brother Benny, I found me a closet and I shut the door. I said, God, I don't know what in the world to do. Patty calls and tells me, said, He's beaten himself in the head. They strapped him down with leather straps. I know it's hard to believe, but he broke the strap loose. He's like a wild man now. They can't do nothing with him. And I just didn't feel like I had a song. I tell you, we get there sometime. If you ain't been there, just hold on. You're going to be there one of these days. I couldn't find, only one I could find to find comfort in was in my wife and her mom and daddy. I decided the best thing, Steve, you need to do, you need to start fasting. I started repenting of everything I knew, if there's anything in my life. I was trying to clean myself out. If there's anything, get forgiveness and straighten myself up. And I went to fasting. And finally, on that, here come that Sunday, my pastor praying for him to shut down, my sister in the church. And you know, I ain't high on unions either, don't get me wrong. But you didn't have to belong to a union to be there, is what I'm trying to say. And my dad needed his finances. I remember they come on the radio. It was up toward the night. And they said, the union said at 12 o'clock midnight, they're walking out because the company said they're not going to give in to their demands. Said they're fixing to move their equipment to Fort Smith, Arkansas, where they had a Whirlpool plant. They're fixing to start shipping their equipment out. Well, I just come back before God again. God, you know I'm trying to live for you. Is that what Hezekiah did? When he turned his face toward the wall, said, "Then, Lord, you know I've been trying. You know how I've been trying." I let God know I've been trying. 12:01 come, and they reached an agreement and never struck out the first time. God gave me my soul. Thank God, that ultimate note started ringing out on the inside. Pat, anybody got that song? I was thinking of that song here today. I know it's kind of like what you was teaching on, but it's not because of what you taught, but it just comes to me. You know, come unto me and I give you rest. Take my yoke up. You ain't heard that here in South Georgia? Well, he's singing in Indiana. But do you? Anybody know this? Don't even find it? Thank you, Jesus. You found it? I couldn't find it. Every one of us like to show ourselves strong. We like to hold ourselves up. But I'm here to tell you, I'm human just like you're human. And I found out some years ago, Brother Grady and his son, and they're back there too, they got hunting dogs. And they pay good money for them dogs. Because when them dogs get out, they want something that's got a nose. Ain't that right? I've been preaching long enough to know when I'm on a trail and when I'm not on a trail. I don't believe God just gives me a message and stays with me for several days. Then all these things come together like it did. For what God's wanting to help people. The only reason I typed this up is because Brother Arthur preaches to the Hispanics in Spanish. And I give him a guide to go by. Sometimes we don't go by it. But just remember this again. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness. Cords that were once broken will vibrate once more. And I wrote to the song that God gave you in the night. All right.